Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Angela.
Hey, Brian.
What a beautiful winter we're having so far.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, hey, we got some events coming up here. We thought we'd get these on everyone's calendars because January 22nd is coming up. And despite the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned going 2.5 years ago now, I'm sorry, whatever the time frame is, that we still commemorate what's going on with the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, partly because, especially in the state of Minnesota, we still have this onslaught of the killing of the unborn. So the Archdiocese will have its annual prayer service for life at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Thursday, January 22nd at 10:30 a.m. So again, January 22nd, 10:30 a.m., Cathedral of St. Paul, the annual prayer service for life at the cathedral. And then following, almost immediately after that, will be the March for Life at the state capitol. This, again, will be Thursday, January 22nd, beginning at noon, and it will last until about 1 p.m. So at the state capitol steps will be the program, the marching around the capitol a little bit there for the March for Life. And then the National March for Life, if you're planning on going that direction, will be the next day on Friday, January 23rd in Washington, D.C. And this year, because of the timing of everything, I'm going to both. Isn't that crazy? I'll be at the Capitol on the 22nd. I'll be at the prayer service also. So, you know, if you're listening to the show, you listen to us with some regularity, introduce yourself. I'd love to meet people that listen to the show. Come on up and take the time. Look for the guy with the mustache. and I guess nowadays it's look for all the guys with mustaches because that's a thing again. But come and say hi, whether it's at the cathedral or at the March for Life. And if you're going out to D.C. for the March for Life, I'll be there as well. So look for me among the 200,000 or 300,000 close friends that'll be there. And I'd certainly be happy to meet people at either of those locations. Well, we've got three babies documented, saved, to talk about for the beginning of the year already.
I was going to say, it's a great way to start the year.
And I've got a very positive story of another baby right on Christmas Eve, just before the end of the year. So let's talk about the baby saved. First of all, so we had one that was at the Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. And the Sidewalk Counselors were able to offer help to the young woman going in for an abortion, planned abortion. As she drove in, she had two kids with her, two young children, to go along with the baby that she was there to have killed. She listened to what was told to her about looking at her ultrasound and so forth. And she came back out of Planned Parenthood about 10 minutes later, and she had tears coming down her cheeks saying thank you for having helped her not have an abortion. She went over to the nearby pregnancy center to get help from there. And then out on the sidewalk also at Whole Woman's in Bloomington, sidewalk counselors again offering help out there, and being the people saw us out there in the cold, and that had made them stop and think about what they were doing. Sometimes the sacrifices we make are very important, and they get noticed. So that's part of that story. And then we had again another baby saved out of our Central Florida branch. So we beat Central Florida with two babies saved in the Twin Cities before we got the first one out of them. But very good story again, where a lot of persistence was involved by the sidewalk counselors and so forth. And then that special story of a positive story. This is Christmas Eve. Brother Pascal, he's with the Franciscan Brothers of Peace, was the sidewalk counselor out there. And he had gone up to the street corner where there's a stop sign to offer help. He had some presents with him, some gifts. And it seemed to be opening up hearts to stop and to listen to what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And there was one that said they were coming to Planned Parenthood, but they did not admit that they were going to have an abortion. We're real certain that's exactly what they were doing, because that's all that happens at this Planned Parenthood in St. Paul anymore.
Right.
But they did not even go in. They ended up going again to the pregnancy center nearby. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Very, very good, fun stories. So we love those. We love those to begin the year like that. So, well, lots of stuff going on. And last week we talked about the abortion reports from the state of Minnesota. And we talked about how dramatic the increase was in the number of babies killed by abortion in 2024. That's what this report covers. We're getting them 6 months later than we used to because of the 2023 legislative session that was so horrible. And it looked like we had had this monstrous increase in the number of abortions in the state of Minnesota. The report came out on December 31st. On January 2nd, they published an update from the Department of Health admitting that they double counted, I think it was almost 2,000 or more abortions. And it turns out that instead of 16,000 plus abortions in 2024, they're showing shy of 14,000 abortions in 2024. But there's a clinker to that. There's a clinker to that. So now they're saying that the numbers went down in 2024 over 2023. But that's not true either, because they still haven't counted everything properly, because the Robbinsdale abortion facility still has no numbers reported in this report from 2024. They were doing abortions all the way through 2024 before they closed at the end of that year.
Hmm.
They commonly were doing in the last several years 700 to 800 abortions a year. And even if they were doing fewer abortions in the last month or two of 2024, they still would have done more than 600 abortions that year. And that means we had still had an increase over 2023, but it's just not this big dramatic increase that we saw in the bad reporting from the Department of Health to begin with.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, so, man.
I know. So Planned Parenthood in 2024 reported 8,052 abortions. It's the most they've ever reported in their history. So just this outrageous increase in the number of abortions with Planned Parenthood in the state of Minnesota. Now, Pennsylvania has their reports that have come out now for 2024, and they're showing almost 2,500 fewer abortions in 2024 compared to 2023.
Well, that's some good news.
Big drop. Maybe their Department of Health is a little better at counting than ours is.
Yeah, or maybe they are having some counting issues now. I mean, now I'm nervous about that too. It's like, well, maybe, are they missing stuff from pregnant or from abortion facilities too? I don't know.
Yeah. And then New Jersey is now showing their numbers from 2024, and they're showing an increase in abortions, about 8% increase over the previous 2023 year. So
why do you think that is? Like, if you had to guess, why do you think places like in New Jersey, you're seeing more here in Minnesota, but in Pennsylvania?
Well, here it's not much of an increase.
But it's not a massive increase either.
Well, part of our increase are coming from out of state.
Yep.
We've had this. That's been our whole, the majority of our increase since the fall of Roe v. Wade has come because of women coming from North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and even from further states than that. But those five states primarily is where the out-of-state abortions are coming into Minnesota. Of course, Wisconsin and North Dakota and South Dakota are the biggies that we're seeing. And of course, the reports show what state they're from when they come in for an abortion. In a place like Pennsylvania, where they're surrounded by states that do abortions, maybe that's the reason why they show the decline.
Right.
And New Jersey, they show an increase, and an 8% increase is rather substantial.
It is.
Again, not, I think we got states that are further south, like South Carolina, North Carolina, West Virginia, stuff like that might be heading toward New Jersey as well. So that might be the reasoning, but that I can't say with any strong conviction at this point. But and then the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is used to be the actual subordinate arm of Planned Parenthood. They went quasi-independent many years ago, but they remained radically pro-abortion.
Yep.
Named for a former president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. So let's not get that wrong. They're reporting that in 2024, abortions hit a new high in recent years of 1.12 million babies killed by abortion in the United States.
Oh, may God have mercy. And it's okay, because but, people are using the pill. I mean, it's
right.
Not,
that's the dramatic increase. Yeah. The dramatic increase is coming from the pill. Now the report is showing that, now let's put a couple things. Let's put some caveats around Guttmacher's numbers. Number one, these are not reported abortions. Okay. Not every state in the country reports their abortions. California doesn't allow for the state to report its abortions, and it's got the most abortions in the whole country. We've got several other states that have the similar situations, like California, where they just deny reporting of abortions. And so Guttmacher has to do estimations, and they do a lot of estimating. And so this is not an accurate report. This is a pure estimate report. Okay. So some states are giving them reports. They're seeing the reports, like out of Minnesota and so forth, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, where reporting is taking place, and they may be fairly accurate. They may not be. It depends on how their health department does things, right? But it's far more accurate than just estimating how many abortions happened in California, for that matter. So we don't know that this number is accurate. And we've had people like Dr. Michael New with the Charlotte Lazor Institute give very clear understandings as to why we simply do not know the number of abortions in the United States. And everything's an estimate, and it has been for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And the actual numbers may not have gone up. They may have gone down in 2024 across the United States. And he points to other information that helps that, like the increase in births, the birth rate increase in Texas and in a couple other states that's very dramatic, which shows that the number of abortions have gone down dramatically for women in those states. So just a lot there to understand.
We need more babies.
Yeah, more babies, more babies.
More babies.
Well, Planned Parenthood, our affiliate for Planned Parenthood in Minnesota, which is headquartered in St. Paul, is called Planned Parenthood North Central States. It covers five states. It's Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Nebraska. And our affiliate has been hit with staffing complaints about the conditions and operations within Planned Parenthood for several years. In fact, a couple years ago, they unionized because of the bad behavior, the poorly manner in which staff had been treated by the executives at Planned Parenthood. Well, now there's another report coming out. Minnesota Public Radio News is reporting once again that there's all sorts of internal strain. There's pressure to see as many patients as possible. They're talking about complaints of discrimination and so forth. They're talking about an environment that is disrespectful and chaotic toward the staff. This is what the managers and executive leaders are doing. They've talked about allegations of being silenced or attempts to silence them and so forth. And so something just very curious to keep an eye on, that that this particular Planned Parenthood affiliate is having some of the same and maybe even worse problems than many others are around the country when it comes to their own staff members.
So. Well, and can I just say, it's not surprising in the least that people who are in a really evil industry aren't maybe the nicest people. But what is surprising is that NPR is reporting on it. That I'm actually surprised by.
Well, and what's surprising is that there are staff who are complaining publicly about it now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this is the part that is just bizarre from my point of view, is they are complaining about how poorly they are being treated as staff, and they complain about how poorly their clients are being treated, mm-hmm. yet they continue to say Planned Parenthood is a great organization because they kill babies. They don't say it that way, of course, because they're all in on abortion. They're so all in on abortion, they actually struggle with the idea of complaining about what's going on inside this terrible organization. There's a good one for you. So, mm-hmm. Well, the Wyoming Supreme Court has struck down two state laws in Wyoming. One that virtually banned all abortions, and the second that banned all abortion pills. So it was the first state in the country to ban all abortion pills entirely. Now, neither law ever took effect. They were both passed after the overturning of Roe v. Wade in 2023. We're passing horrible laws. They're passing really good laws. But local judges, state judges, put injunctions on both of those. There were two separate lawsuits. Both laws were enjoined from taking effect, and it's now worked its way to their state Supreme Court. They joined the cases together for the purposes of this decision, and unfortunately, the ruling of the judges was very poor. And so now the governor of Wyoming is looking to put it before the Wyoming voters and to instate these laws finally by putting it out there so that it gets out of the hands of the courts. So we'll see what happens with that. And then Utah, right next door, they've asked the courts to reinstate the law that protects the unborn from abortion. And then in Montana, also right next to Wyoming, adjacent to Wyoming, they are now reporting that 80% of their abortions are by pill. Yeah. Now, Montana is a very large state. It's one of the largest states in the country, covers a lot of land. It's very, very sparsely populated. Population centers are very far and few between. And so that's the reasoning that's given why the abortion pill is so popular in the state of Wyoming, because the distances to go to try and do an in-person abortion is very hard to overcome. And of course, it always has been that way, but now with the abortion pill free for all, they can kill babies that way very, very simply, unfortunately. But the U.S. Senate next week is going to hold hearings in one of their committees. This is the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee on a hearing that's going to be protecting women, exposing the dangers of chemical abortion drugs.
Wow.
Is the title of the hearing. So they're bringing in people to talk about how bad the abortion pill is towards women, how it's killing them, injuring them, harming them in so many ways. And so they're going to do the investigation that the FDA has yet to start to do. So we're excited to see that they're at least going to give some time to that. And just right in there, there's an 18-year-old woman that's now reported in India who died after taking the abortion drugs that were supplied by her 25-year-old cousin.
Oh, so sad.
I know.
And
this is the thing, because the FDA, now this is in India, it's not the United States, of course, but this same thing could easily happen in the United States because the FDA has lifted all the REMS that would actually protect the women. We're still not protecting the babies. We're killing the babies, but we're not protecting the women at all either. And that, of course, is supposed to be the great reason for abortion. The reason you should be able to kill your own child is to protect yourself. And here the women are dying as well. So,
well, and it looks like the reason that she had so many complications was because she was anemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that anemia is not uncommon. I mean, I'm just looking here. I just did a quick search. About 13% of U.S. women have anemia, with significantly higher rates in adolescent and reproductive age women. And that increases when you talk about just iron deficiency in general. But I mean, it's not like it's that uncommon. More than one in 10 women could be at risk of this. And you think about that number extrapolated to how many women are using abortion pills, it's a frightening statistic.
And when you add in the fact that there is virtually no longer any medical checkup taking place for so many, even those that are getting abortions through the existing abortion facilities like a Planned Parenthood, where they're dispensing them either by mail or it's in person, but it's a real loosey-goosey one, and I'll explain that in a bit. But you know, they're no longer seeing the woman to do an exam on the woman, and right. So that alone is problematic all by itself, and that's right here in Minnesota taking place. So Mankato Planned Parenthood, they started doing the abortion pill webcam abortions in Mankato a couple of years ago. We've got folks on the sidewalks down there right away. In fact, we got out in front of them before they started doing the abortions. Anyhow, the most recent happenings at this Mankato location is they're no longer taking in-person appointments for the webcam abortions. Instead, you go online yourself wherever you're at, and you just drop by this location to pick up the abortion pills as you go. There's no longer scheduled times to be seen.
Right.
So real horrible nightmare situations are going to come from that. That's all there is. So, well, the state of Colorado is going to have to pay $5.4 million in legal fees to the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. It's a legal group, with an additional $700,000 to a nurse in a settlement case where the state was trying to bar pro-lifers from providing abortion pill reversal. Federal court case. I love it. $5.4 million in legal fees and $700,000 to a nurse, totaling more than $6 million that the state is paying out for their bad actions in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
May they pay even more out like that.
Yeah.
And you know, last week the last couple of weeks, we talked about Heartbeat International, that they had reached 4,000 centers that they work with across the United States. And we were just really talking about how great an organization Heartbeat is. Well, now they have a report coming out showing that this last year, their pregnancy center hotline, it's called Option Line, which we use with our work on the sidewalks and with our messaging on billboards and everything else.
Yeah.
Option Line received more than 1.3 million contacts last year. And that is more than triple the number of connections they got the previous year.
Wow, that is insane. That is so crazy.
More than triple.
That is incredible. Wow.
Praise God.
It's amazing.
And this is a very, very good organization. Very, very good organization. They do an amazing job. They work with every pro-life pregnancy center there is, not just their own. They will send a woman to what is closest to where she lives. All she has to do is call or go online. And she can talk to somebody live. She can do a text chat. She can do all sorts of things to make communications. They made it very simple to communicate with them, and they can get her to the nearest bestest. Sorry, that's a bad word, but bestest center.
My kids
available.
Are
what's that?
I hope my homeschool kids are not listening to you. You're going to ruin the grammar lessons this week.
It's kind of a southern thing. They actually use that word in the South, in the old South. Oh yeah, the bester, bestest.
Funny.
So, I know. Anyhow, Scotland's Catholic bishops are speaking out against the country's new buffer zone law. So they came out with a statement on January 6th denouncing this buffer zone law. It limits free speech and prayer outside abortion facilities. I'm not sure exactly what the distance is in that law. I know in the UK and in England itself, it's 150 meters. It's probably similar in there. The bishops called it state overreach, curtailing basic freedoms, infringing on religious belief and freedom as well. So it's good to have the bishops speaking clearly and strongly against these horrible, obnoxious laws that get passed in some countries. So
totally.
We're good to see that. But, you know, we love billboards. We have billboards up all across the state of Minnesota. Most of our billboards are I Am Human theme. That's what we've been working with for a while. Picture of a beautiful unborn baby at different stages of gestation. And it just simply states, I am human. We've got some others that we've added. Why is it okay to abort me? We've got others that say option line clearly on them so the women can go get help. Well, our neighbors to the east in Wisconsin, great organization, Pro-Life Wisconsin, good friends over there, have decided to do their own billboard campaign, and it's focusing on abortion injury. In this new billboard campaign, one of theirs is, it says, experiencing infertility after your abortion, and then it has their abortioninjury.com website that you can go to. So connecting women who have been injured by abortion with attorneys that will help them seek justice in those court cases. So I'm excited. I like to see things like that being done. In Australia, switching from abortion to other life matters, in Australia, there's a woman who decided to commit suicide through the suicide drugs that are legal in that country. And she decided that she was going to donate her organs as part of this process. Yuck.
Yeah, I was thinking, I saw this story earlier this week too, and I thought it's just, it caught my attention because the woman shares the same name as a family member of mine. And so I had to do a double take, like, what? And it is frightening. I think they were thinking she's the first person in Australia to have her organs harvested and donated after self-administering these drugs for assisted suicide. But my guess is she won't even be close to the last. Doctors will begin to encourage patients to do this.
Well, now there has been a case of organ donations after doctor-administered euthanasia instead of self-administered euthanasia. It's either case. It's, you know, assisted suicide is euthanasia, whether you're doing it yourself or whether doctors have to be involved anyhow, because they got to prescribe the drugs to kill the person. So it's still doctor-driven euthanasia. It's just that they have couched the language and they've made it sound like there's some sort of good in this. And of course, that's what this is as well. You know, the false mercy that, my life isn't worth living, but my organs are worth somebody else's living.
Yeah. There's a lot of, there's this pervasive idea in the medical field right now of false altruism, right? And so that's what you have in big fertility and everything else.
Yeah. It's all the time we have today. Thank you and God bless you. Thank you.